Hey, everybody, has Israel been replaced? Has the church replaced Israel? Not only in prophecy, but in modern history. Is there no real Israel today? We're going to tackle this today. There's a lot in my new book, Genesis, the beginning of all things. I deal with this. We're going to share a little bit of that today. Doc's got some information as well. We're going to help you tonight. I believe, if you'll listen. Get your Bible, if you have one. Get your notebook. Write some stuff down. Record the program if you can. Or if you're watching on YouTube, you can go back and watch it many times as you need to grasp it. We're going to throw some stuff out there at you, and we're going to help you understand, does Israel exist today? All right? We'll be back in about 30 seconds. Stand by. Hey, everybody, welcome to the program. Does Israel still exist? Is that little place over there in the Middle East, that place called Israel, is that just a bunch of Palestinians and Arabs? I mean, is Israel non-existent today? Has the church taken their place? We're gonna delve into this today. I forgot in the opening, Doc, to read the verse I was going to read.
That's right.
Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. And I will make of thee, he's talking about Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's promise there.
God said, I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you.
Yeah, yeah. That's verse 3. And I think most generations have understood that Israel still exists.
Yes.
Well, until our generations come along.
Well, it goes back at least to the second century, where they were already getting these ideas of replacement theology. And replacement theology is not new to the church movement or the church age, because it really is what the Roman Empire was all about. In 300s,
yeah,
it was a replacement. Then
he merged the church and state,
and to them, by then, the church had become morphed into a church form of Mystery Babylon's what it really become, and that's what became the Roman Empire based on that merger.
Yeah.
And so, replacement theology didn't just happen with Martin Luther or any of the, it started before what we would call the Roman Church, the Roman Catholic Church, became what it is known to be.
And they've always been kind of anti-Semitic.
Oh, they've always been.
I believe they took the side of Hitler.
This is what the Crusades was all about. The Roman Church said this belongs to us because we're the church.
Yeah.
And the Islamic says, no, it belongs to us. And so far, all of these hundreds of years, they battled over who was going to have it.
Yeah.
Because neither one of them was right.
Yeah.
And Israel's still there today, and nobody can figure out why. And you just read why.
Yeah. Yeah. And God has a plan. And well, let's go back in history. Well, let me tell you, let me say this. There's one guy in history that people have forgotten about. I don't know how, because he's mentioned all the time. Trump is accused of being him. I guarantee you, Mr. Hitler believed in the nation of Israel.
Oh, yeah.
He believed that they were real, that they existed.
Absolutely.
But he believed they needed to be punished. He said they crucified Christ. They've got to be destroyed there. And he believed in them.
And whether people like to hear this or not, it was the Roman Catholic Church. It was 110% behind the Nazi movement.
Yeah, and that's
because if we can get rid of these people wanting to take Israel, Jerusalem, away from us. Yeah.
And that's historical fact, because
yes, it is.
I believe it's Pope John Paul, I believe, apologized to the world for what the Catholic Church had sided with Hitler, financed some things. And now There's others, too. I mean, America had a part, too.
No.
We turned away that ship that came to our
shore
in Florida.
Yep.
And the whole world, the Jews have been hated. That's all.
But we're at a time today where all of that resentment and all that hatred has become a flashpoint and a fever pitch of anti-Semitism. And folks, you can mark it down. It's not going to go away. It's going to get worse.
Guess what bothers me, this has moved into our independent Baptist and other churches now.
It's moved into all ranks and all movements of Christianity as a whole, yes.
And not only that, but our conservative media.
That's right.
Tucker Carlson, I like Tucker Carlson, but he's Presbyterian, so he's got some foundational roadblocks that he has to overcome.
Trouble is, Presbyterians, whether you are or not, the Presbyterian faith believes in replacement theology.
Yeah, that's part of their dogma. And preterist.
Any mainline church, we used to call them Protestant or Protestant churches because that's really what they are.
Yeah.
They are what they are because they protested their mother church, the Catholic. So when they came out with it, they brought a whole lot of that with them, and they all brought replacement theology with them.
Yeah. And
everybody's all excited about Martin Luther and all these other things, but they failed to overlook the fact that he called the Jews pigs and whatnot else. He was just as much of a hater of the Jews as the Catholics were.
Yeah, and he hated the Baptists.
Yes. Well, they all did because Baptists are the only people that throughout all of century time, both the Anabaptists and then later called Baptists, every one of them historically have stood with what we still stand for. The Israel in the end time is still going to be the same Israel that was Israel when God gave the prophecies.
All right. So let's look at a few things out of my book, the Genesis, the Book of Beginnings.
I tell you to buy his book, but it might be full of heresy, too. I don't know. I would encourage you to do that.
As I tell folks, the first part of the book, part one, is the beginning of all things, Genesis 1 through Genesis 11. A lot of good stuff there. But
Great stuff.
Part two really evolved on me.
I'm teaching the Genesis class in our Bible college, and you know, I'm here at the end of it, and I'm having to rush up because I spent so much time with the first 11 chapters.
Yeah, just like you do in your walk through time.
Yeah.
I think the thing's almost over, and you're still in Genesis.
Yeah.
And
you got to have that
but
beginning.
But it just proves, without an understanding of Genesis, you're never going to get the rest of it.
Absolutely right.
And so part two begins with chapter 12, and that's the beginning of the Jewish nation,
yes.
The Hebrew nation, whatever you want to call it, the Israelites. It begins with Abraham, chapter 1, or chapter 12, and ends with Joseph in a coffin at the end of the book.
Yeah.
And I have this little acrostic here. It starts with a man, Abraham. Then becomes that man becomes a family with kids and grandkids and great grandkids. I follow really the four men: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jacob's an important one. He's going to be the one who has his name changed.
Yes,
after he, I believe, has a divine appointment with God.
He has a divine appointment, and he walks with a limp the rest of his life from it.
Yeah, and his life has changed.
Yes.
And God says, you're no longer Jacob, trickster, crook. You're now
a friend with God.
Yeah, a prince as a prince with, you shall have influence with man and with God.
Yep.
And really something there. And I didn't quote that exactly right, but it's left me. So then it becomes a nation with his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel are going to form into a nation. So in the book, and this, like I said, the book really evolved here. I mean, I have struggled with this book. I've written over 20 books. I've never struggled like I have with this one. And I'm beginning to understand why now, because this is really touching into Israel. You know that whole book, the Jewish book?
That's right.
It's written by Jews.
Yeah.
It's about Jews, and it's just a Jewish book. It's written.
That's exactly right.
And we got to realize that. And the Jews are hated. Number one, they brought Christ into the world.
That's it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because they were the entity that brought about the body for Christ to do Calvary's work.
Yeah, yes. They were custodians of the very oracles of God, as it's called, which is the Bible.
They gave us the Word of God.
And the Bible says salvation is of the Jews.
Yes.
Now, that bothers people, I guess. I don't know. But we're not saying that all the Jews are great
people. No, absolutely
there's
not.
There's criminals over there just like there are here.
It's just like we couldn't say that everybody in America is a good American.
Yeah. In fact... It's getting worse
all the
time. It's
pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah. So
to try to judge what God has said in prophecy by current events, it's like putting on sunglasses in a dark room.
Yeah.
You're missing the whole picture.
Well, let me just give a few of these because I know you have a lot of verses that you want to share proving that Israel does exist.
Oh, yes.
And always has and will. I mean, Ezekiel 36, 37, 38. Mm-hmm. They're all about the fact that God's going to bring those people back.
Right.
Son of man, these bones live again? And then later on, life is blown into their lungs and into their spirit. Right. And that hasn't happened
yet. Well, and it revolves around God making a promise.
Yeah.
He said he'd made a promise to all of the names you just mentioned, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I've made a covenant with them. An everlasting covenant.
Yeah.
I tell folks when I'm teaching on the Abrahamic covenant, and I always start out, is it still in force today? And I tell folks, this may be the most important thing for you to understand. If God cannot keep his commitment and promise to Abraham, how do you know he can keep it to you for salvation?
Exactly right. Exactly right. Abram was first mentioned in Genesis 11, 26 and 27. He's, of course, the son of Terah. Terah is going to beget Abraham. And, actually, his name is Abram. And I looked this up, and I did a little research here. Abram is changed to Abraham, actually, in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 5.
Yes.
Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. And I believe he defines it right here.
Yes,
he says, for a father of many nations have I made thee.
Yes.
And there's why he changed his name. He's going to be not only a father to a family, but father to many nations.
That's a relationship with God's covenant with Abraham.
Yep.
Yes.
And some other verses here, but I'll skip them. What I did is I did a study for the book on three terms: Hebrew, Jew, and Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of confusion today, and
yes.
and some people have been pushing back on me on my YouTube channel when I did some stuff about Israel. I did a show called God Chose the Jews, and I saw some of the criticisms because he did a video about it. He actually played my video and critiqued it. Mm-hmm. He invited me on, and I'm seriously thinking of going on his show.
At least he was forefront.
And he made some points that, you know, there weren't even Jews yet. And the Jews are from Judah,
But they're all one and the same.
Yeah, and they are. And I prove that in the book.
Yeah.
But the word Hebrew, first mentioned, Genesis 14, 13. And you and I were talking about this out in the office. And you even mentioned this. Mm-hmm. Abram is the first person you called a Hebrew.
A Hebrew.
There came one that had escaped, verse 13, Genesis 14, 13. And told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, and so there's the usage of that. And I got several more here, all the way into Exodus. The king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwife.
Yep.
So Hebrew is more of a race, I think. Mm-hmm. You got Jews. You got the Hebrew race
because when God called Abraham, he was choosing genetics for the purpose down the line for that body that was going to be provided for him on Calvary's cross.
Well, that's deep right there, Doc.
That's why it's referred to all through the Bible, in thy seed, in thy seed. You're going to find it everywhere.
You realize that explains why the Jews are smart people.
Absolutely.
They're very successful people.
Everybody, doesn't matter what they go.
Everybody talks about, you know, they got the money and they're and all that. They've got that because God put something in
the ability to make it
through Shem way back.
That's
getting off the ark.
Yep.
Shem is the lineage that they came from.
That's
the lineage of Shem.
But out of all of those, it was Abraham that he chose. And it's obvious he was choosing genealogy, genetics,
yeah,
when he chose Abraham.
Yeah. So several things here. Hebrew. And by the way, I looked these up in Webster. I looked up first mention. I wanted to get a feel for what these things meant. And then I went to Webster's 1828. Listen to what Webster says about Hebrew. I'm not talking about the language. I'm talking about the Hebrew race.
Right.
A Hebrew. Either a proper name or a name denoting passage, pilgrimage, or coming from beyond the Euphrates. One of the descendants here. And then he says, a Jew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Webster's is saying a Jew and a Hebrew are one and the
same. They're one and the same.
Now, there is one difference. You have to be born into a Hebrew race.
That's right.
You don't have to be born into the Jew. You can become a Jew. You can be a proselyte
by
believing in the religion and moving there, becoming a part of them. That would be one little difference there. So next was the Jew. First usage of Jew, this really surprised me, Doc.
Okay.
The book of Esther.
Yes,
after
that's
the
exactly
70-year captivity.
Exactly.
First time the word Jew, and it's, of course, Mordecai, over and over again in that book, you'll find
the Jew. So sometime during the captivity is when this develops.
Yeah. And remember now, they were taken into captivity, but that was only the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah and some of the Levites.
Yeah.
Because the 10 tribes, the northern 10 tribes, remember the split with Jeroboam?
They'd already been gone.
They already were taken captive to Syria. And so all that's left is Judah and Benjamin and some Levites.
Right.
And Babylon comes and takes a remnant of them up into Babylon. That's where the term Jew is going to come, either during the captivity or right after, because the word's not used, as far as we know, at least in the Bible. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't already being used. We don't know.
I don't. Sometime during that period of time is where I'm convinced it came in. Yeah.
And so look what it says here. And then Esther chapter 2, verse 5. Now, in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. And all the way through the book of Esther.
So when you hit the word Shushan, so now we've moved from Babylon to Persian.
Yep.
So somewhere in that area is where this name comes. And he's already got that name because Shushan was a palace in Elam that had been taken by the Persian Empire.
Yeah. Chapter 3, verse 4, for he had told them that he was a Jew.
Yes.
Webster's 1828 dictionary, Jew, a noun, a contraction of Judas of Judah, a Hebrew or Israelite. Well, there's all three of my terms right
all
there.
All three of them right there in that word.
Webster's in 1828 felt like all three of these were similes of each other. And by the way, there's only one place in the Bible the word Jewish is used. And it's mentioned in Titus, chapter 1, verse 14. We've used this many times.
Oh, yes.
Not giving heed to Jewish fables.
Yes, yes.
Anyway. Now, an Israelite, that's my third term here. These are all, I believe.
One and the same.
Yeah. First mentioned, Numbers chapter 25. This is after they leave Egypt. Now, the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with, and it goes on with the Midianite, the woman here. In other words, the children of Israel are Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
And children of Israel, which would have been a fourth term here, that would be the same.
Yeah.
But by this time, I think the other 10 tribes are probably grafted back in here. When they're in captivity.
And we'll not get into that, but there's a whole lot of people that's all screwed up on them.
Right.
There are no lost tribes, folks. Nobody's lost.
Great Britain, some people in Great Britain think that they're the lost 10 tribes.
Absolutely not.
All of these terms refer to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Of course, Jacob becoming Israel, his name, which is now the name of the nation of Israel.
That's right.
Named after a man. That man had 12 sons.
That's it.
And Judah is one of those sons, of course, and those 12 sons are going to become the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel.
And that goes with what I said a while ago, God's choosing genetics, and he chooses the genetics through these sons Isaac and Jacob, and whose name is Israel. And then he chooses Judah. And then out of the line of Judah, he's going to choose David. Because this is all about a roadmap for the redemptive body Jesus.
I gave an illustration in the book, and I don't have it in these here. We just edited the book and added this. I gave an illustration. They say, and even Webster seems to say, that Judah is where the word Jew came from. Mm-hmm. And that's probably true.
Well, it's got to have had its little ties to
but
that,
people,
yes.
But people tend to say, oh, there, so Jews are only the tribe of Judah, and so there's no such thing as... what they fail to realize here is Judah was the political and spiritual head mm-hmm. of all the 12 tribes.
Yeah.
The priesthood, I mean, all the, you know, David was from Judah. Mm-hmm. Jesus is king of, you know, the tribe of Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah. His lineage came through
absolutely.
Them. So they're the head, really, of that nation. And I give the illustration, just as America has 50 states, but there's one place in America that is the political seat of all 50 states, mm-hmm. and that's, whether you like it or not, is Washington, D.C.,
right.
And now when George Washington was alive, that of course it wasn't there, it was in New York then, but mm-hmm. I think that's a good illustration. The 10 tribes had gone into captivity, but they're going to come back together.
That's right.
And the fact that Judah is where the word Jew came from does not mean that Jew it doesn't fit all 12 tribes, because I believe it does.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using this to try to discredit the nation of Israel, saying that, you know, that was just the tribe of Judah.
It's because, number one, either they don't know their Bible or they don't want to know what the Bible has to say, and they don't believe it.
And they say Abraham wasn't a Jew. I understand semantics here.
Yeah.
No. Jew didn't exist yet. The word Jew didn't exist yet. But it all came from Shem.
That's right.
When they got off that ark, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem is the lineage that Abraham comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you wouldn't call Abraham a Jew because that word wasn't used yet.
No, it wasn't used.
But Abraham is the father of the Jewish race and his lineage.
Right. You don't find that used until after that becomes a nation of Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's more that I have here, Doc. Well, let me turn it over to you. You got some verses here, and I've got a verse I'll share later.
Well, there's a lot of people, you know, out there today that... Matt, they're trying to say that modern Israel isn't there. It doesn't really matter. We got a lot even in our own ranks that's mixed up on all of this. And let me just read a few verses. And in Genesis 26 and 4, he said, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You're going to find in thy seed all over if you start searching it out.
Is this the one you thought might be 70 times?
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
We're going to do some
70
research
verses.
On that. Well, that would be interesting.
He's talking about the seed. And in Genesis 15 and verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Euphrates to the great river Euphrates, from the Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Then in chapter 17 and verse 7, he said, and I will, this is what God said, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generation for an everlasting covenant. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty long-lasting.
Everlasting.
Everlasting. And we talked about in an update a while ago, the judgment, it seems, on Iran, of God cursing them because of their cursing of Israel. I mean, they're about to dry up. They don't have any water to drink.
Yeah.
God's cursing them. And so if the Israel of today, why is God's cursing and blessing still in force today? In Psalms 105 and verse 8, the Bible says, he hath remembered his covenant forever. The word which it was commanded to a thousand generations, verse 9, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and verse 10, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant.
That's forever.
So the Israel of today is there. And so people say, well, but what about today? Well, you got to remember, God's brought them back into the land so he can finish some prophecy. While they were in bondage in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 15, the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is to this day. And then in their return for final prophecy in Romans chapter 11, the Bible says, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. And he goes on there. And so then in Ezekiel says, okay, let me tell you why God's going to bring them back for the final days. So in Ezekiel chapter 36, in verse 22, he says, therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen. A lot of people are saying, well, these are wicked people over there in Israel. Look what they're doing. And they've got the biggest gay parade, a homosexual movement, and all of this stuff. Oh, why would God have them? Because he said, I'm not bringing them back because they weren't. They profaned my name everywhere they've gone. He said, but for my name's sake. And he said, I will sanctify my great name, which profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the country and will bring you back into their land. And again, this is what God said, I will do. Now, let me give you another couple of verses, verse 26 through verse 28. We're in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Mm-hmm. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I have gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. 10 times God said, I or my.
Yeah.
So God bringing them back is to finish Bible prophecy of the last seven yeah. years, that last week of Daniel's prophecy.
No wonder the devil's fighting this and trying to make
That's
them
right.
insignificant.
Exactly.
I like what Paul said. Look, you just read it. I say that hath God cast away his people? God forbid.
Yes.
I think Paul's right.
That's right.
They haven't been cast aside.
No, they haven't.
They were put on the shelf for a while, but God's got a plan for them.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you who believes in them is Hitler. Hitler believed in the Jews.
The Antichrist.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're out of time. And until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.